Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I
mean.
We are here for yet another Thursday. Hey, everybody out there. This is Mecca. And on the other side of that there pink carpet is my sis, Unique. Welcome to the VIP.
What up, y'all?
Oh, my gosh. You sound like back in the 90s on the music videos when people would introduce their own video and they would do all of that. That is too funny.
Look, you couldn't see, but I had hand gestures going and everything.
Oh, no, I saw you right in my head. Yes, I did. Oh, my goodness. I see your auntie is in the building. Hey, Mom.
Hello, my dear.
Of course, we can't hear her back, but...
I know.
I said, of course, we can't hear her back, but you know how she is. She's probably on the other end shouting us out. So that's that's always a very, very good thing.
Super fan. Yes, it is. We love you and we appreciate all of your support.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I got on nervous today, you know, when I started looking at the post, and I know Kareem Park was like, I'm going to need Mecca to get herself together. So I got on nervous, you know, because I saw the repost and I was like, oh gosh, this says yesterday. But he is definitely here. he's definitely with us on today. And, you know, you and I were talking about the anniversary of Self-Destruction, the actual song. And, you know, when I asked Kareem to be on the show, I wasn't even thinking about the fact that the anniversary was, I think it was the 15th, the anniversary of, the Stop the Violence movement, the 29th anniversary. Of course, you know, we was only four when this happened. But anyway,
That's
29th.
29 years ago,
almost been 30 years.
Yeah, I can clearly see
absolutely.
It, and it seems like it's been no more than about 10 years. That's crazy.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, right, so I had to go, being that I'm the hip-hop head that I am, I had to go watch the video and all of that stuff. But it was brought to my attention because I had saw D. Nice mention it, you know, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was one of the main producers himself and KRS-One. He said he was 18 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I asked Kareem, I think I asked Kareem the same day and just still wasn't really putting it together that it's like we still kind of sort of fighting for the same stuff after all of these years. It's just like, whew, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't know. I just wish that people would take life more seriously. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And I also, you know what I thought about? And I always say this, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. It was almost like a prophetic cry, you know. And what was going on at that particular time, as well as what was going on when Self-Destruction came out, is nothing compared to what's going on now. So it's just like, I mean, if they said that then, they should see what's happening now, you know. Some of the rappers, even the Self-Destruction that were a part of it, that are no longer with us anymore. Heavy D, Miss Melody, rest in peace. Yeah, good, you know, a couple of them. And it's like, you know, I wonder if they could see how crazy it is now, what that would be like, you know.
Hmm.
It's just kind of mind-boggling to me. It really is.
And you know what? The kids need something like that today. They need, I mean, because they can watch that video, but it won't really mean as much to them because it's not the people that they look up to. It's not the, you know, the 50 Cents and the Jay-Z's and, you know, Kanye's and Eminem's. If they could see something like that, I think that would help. I really do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Remember,
and,
you know, Self-Destruction was for us, for like the East Coast people. And then remember the West Coast made Same Game.
Absolutely. Wow, had we been thinking, we could have played that too. But
Could have got that too.
Nonetheless.
This came to me.
Well, it's all right. I'm sure they have an anniversary. We'll probably figure out when that is as well. And maybe if we don't play it here, we'll play it on the second show, The Trend.
It was probably like a year later. A year or a couple months later. Because I remember it came out right after Self-Destruction.
Right. It was definitely, at that particular point. But I want to say something about Kareem. I want to definitely play Self-Destruction. And I want to let Kareem through. I want to say, and I was thinking about this today. Now, Kareem is a person that, for some odd reason, I always felt like I knew Kareem from back in the day. Always felt like that. But can't really put the correlation together. But being raised in the same area, maybe like a few blocks away, we probably did, kind of come past each other or whatever the case may be. But then when our paths crossed, almost 2 years ago, when I reached out to him and realized how I reached out to Kareem is because I was looking for some stuff online pertaining to, nonviolence and blah, blah, blah. I came across a video. I was actually at that place at the same time that the video was happening, but you didn't see me in the video. And Kareem was in the video. So I'm just like, okay, so that's definitely one time that we probably saw each other and just didn't know. But it was, I want to say, I don't know, what is that, 138th Street, wherever that, across the street from that Big L mural, and had like a small rally. At the time, an older lady had gotten shot at the path mark on 145th Street at that time. I know that was going on, just a lot of different things. So, some people came together to kind of organize and, go from there. And since then, Kareem was on the show a little bit after that, but I just want to publicly say thank you, because whenever I call Kareem, and like I said, this is not a, person that we talk all the time or anything like that. We see each other's posts. We might like it or whatever, encourage each other for 5 seconds, keep it moving. But if I ask him to come for anything, right, that has to do with, the cause of coming together, unifying to stop the violence, he is definitely there. I want Kareem and WAG to know that they are definitely needed in the community. I know that they know it, and I know that it's not always easy either, but I want to encourage them tonight, to just keep on doing what it is that they're doing, and just, let them know that they're always in our prayers, because this is not easy work. One, just because it's not, and two, because there's so much opposition, so many people that don't want positive movements like this to happen. So we know it's not easy. But without further ado, I want to do our intro, because we keep forgetting that, and then I'm going to go straight into Self-Destruction and straight into Kareem. Yes, WAG, hold on. Yeah, because we can't, we just keep on getting excited every week, and we don't do no intro. Thank you for joining the VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet, as we want to keep our VIP area litter-free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
it really is. bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive, so we don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headlines, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Took a brother's life with a knife, that's right. Cry, cause he died a trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, cause that's
self-destruction.
Collect. ourselves with intellect. To revolve, to evolve the self-respect. Cause we got to keep ourselves in check. Or else it's
self-destruction.
Wow.
Yes, Kareem, the song was long.
Oh, did he say that old? I don't know if he said long or that old. Which one was it?
No, he said long.
Long,
huh? That's because we were too busy bobbing our head to it at the time. Kareem, welcome back.
Hey, how
welcome back.
Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Good evening.
We are doing good.
Yeah,
how are you doing? Yep, we hear you.
All right, I can't complain.
I can't complain at all. Happy New Year,
Kareem. Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you.
So, Kareem, what's been going
so
on
today,
since you was last on the VIP?
Well, he said he was about to say today is something, but I didn't want to cut that off.
Sorry.
Yeah, today is the 30th. Today's the 30th anniversary to Stop the Violence.
The 29th. Monday. I think Monday was. It was Monday.
Wow.
29 years ago.
Yeah.
No, Unique was 2 hours four. You understand? So, but nonetheless. Yeah,
I think I was 14.
It's been 29 years.
Junior high school.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Wow. So I know there's been plenty going on since the last time that you were on our show. Actually, Kareem, you were one of our very first guests on the show.
Yeah.
You were on the show before. We were even on Blog Talk.
We were having a conference call.
We was trying to figure this whole thing out. So we've evolved a lot since then.
Now.
Yeah, man. You know, we got to do what we got to do.
Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Anytime. Hey, Sunday.
Definitely.
I see Sunday Bowles is tuning in. That's my favorite cousin, much like my sister. So, hey, Sunday. So, Kareem, yes, you are back. There's been so much going on in the past year and a half since you were on the show the very, very first time. So you're really going to have to bring us up to speed. For those who don't know, can you just tell everybody what WAG is? What is, you know, what is Wheelchairs Against Guns?
It's a group of wheelchair survivors, being gunshot victim survivors who are confined to wheelchairs. And our mission is really simple, just to protect children from the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. And we do that by partnering with the DOE and going into schools and performing workshops centered around three things that our inner-city children are lacking, which is conflict resolution strategies, critical thinking, and positive self-esteem and self-respect reinforcement. So we have a curriculum designed just for that, and we pick the kids in the school because our theory is this, that once all the kids that are out here, you know, doing all this wild, dumb stuff, once they meet their demise, we just don't want it to be another influx of kids just to replace those kids. So we targeted the school to do that. Outside of that, we have a basketball clinic that we run in the summertime. You know, we do our yearly give back for Thanksgiving, Christmas. This year we had our first toy giveaway. It was good. We gave away over 100 toys. It's kind of sad because we had to turn some kids away. But, you know, hopefully next year we'll get a big enough budget to, you know, supply everybody with enough gifts. Since I've met with y'all, I've gotten 2 citations from the borough president.
I saw the one from Brooklyn.
Congratulations. Yes.
That's right.
You posted it on Instagram. Awesome.
Yeah. I got my, last year we had our first contract with the DOE for 13 schools. Then they finally paid us, so that was good. Bunch of them publications. I did a video with the New York Lens. Just was publicated in what is that? The Atlantic. I'm kind of mad at them because they didn't put a backlink to my website like they did all the other high-profile Caucasian organizations
wow.
that was along with the article. But, you know, it, you
see,
know,
that's the
things
that I've been talking about.
Yeah, it'll do it. You know, I intellectually let him know that he was wrong, you know, but he claims that he wasn't the editor, but you was the one who interviewed me. So, a lot of this comes with a lot of it comes with ups and downs, but I'm just not going to let anything stop me from what I'm doing. And I think that when these things arise, the devil's trying to tell me to chill. But I've been through worse. Recently, I've been doing a lot of studying on why, you know, like you said, this is 29 years and nothing has really changed. And the reason why is because it's a culture. It's a culture amongst us that we live unconsciously, and it spills out into our children. And just something off the head, like when we was all raised, we was all told, somebody put their hands on you, you defend yourself, right? You heard that before, right? You got smacked on the butt for being a tattletale.
I did.
I don't know. So these innocent morals that our parents instill in us just to prepare us for, you know, the rough terrain that we're about to exist in these inner cities. So those things have become perpetuated and distorted. We've moved away from honor and defending our women, children, and household to applying this honor to, if you disrespect me, if you look at me wrong, if you say something to me wrong, if you say something to my girlfriend, if you look at my girlfriend, all of these things are reason for me to throw my life away, my freedom, and to risk everything. And the reason is because we get it from. Let me go back to the beginning. Herdies, all right. It was herdies in the Angeles Mountains, and there was no police, no government. So the only way that you could protect your herd was if a thief came and stole. Yeah. The act of retribution had to be violence, so no one would steal from you again. So now, as it trickles down, and us as black people, the first person we see as a free man was a Caucasian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? So
we've seen
the Caucasian. So we took the honor that he had, and then when the Great Migration came, we just took and we sprinkled in Chicago, LA, New York, wherever we was in the inner cities, and we took this honor. But the honor that we had back then was more in principle, like, don't defend, like, if you say something wrong to my, or if you hit my wife, and you defend those things. Those are reasons for us to go to jail. Like, but now, as it gets worse and worse, and these kids become more and more caught up in this unconscious culture, it's okay for them to think that everything that they're doing is in defense of their honor, and it's really not. You know, if somebody brushes you, or somebody just, pardon my language, ladies, because I know we have some ladies on the call, if somebody invites you to their, you know, their genitals, I mean, that's no reason for you to want to, you know, risk going to jail. Or if my brother is in a problem, why can't we go seek help? See, we come from a place where actually seeking help could do more damage than not seeking help. Because if I go seek help, now I'm considered a snitch. Now I'm considered a sucker. Now I can't walk around in my neighborhood comfortably. So now I'm defending this honor. So now I have to be, when somebody comes to steal my sheep, what am I to do? I can't go to the cops. You know, I could go to my brothers, but my brothers won't offer me a gun. Because they believe in the same thing that I believe in. You was like, oh, they disrespected you. And if you ask these kids today, what is this beef about? Why are y'all killing each other? Oh, I don't know.
And
it's just the way it is.
Don't mind you.
It's just the way it is. And if you ask them all the time, yo, what do you want out of life? I want to be respected. Well, what do you mean you want to be respected? I want to be respected. I want people to see me and, you know, go on the other side of the street. I want them to know that I ain't no joke. That's not respect. That's fear. Well, what is your definition
right.
of a man? Right? You
right.
asked them what's the definition of a man. A man is to do anything that I have to do to feed my family. So is that the truth? So if you need anything to do to feed your family, are you willing, really willing to risk being taken away from
being
your family
away from
and having
them.
Somebody else
mm-hmm.
do it? But the honor in me says, yes, I have to, because that makes me a man, for me to put my freedom on the line for my family. And that's the honor
mm-hmm.
that these kids are caught up in, and it's perpetuating. And it's just not like this in New York. It's like this in Chicago. It's like this in L.A., Virginia. You know, it's like that all over. And it's a reason. It's a reason. And what my reason is this culture of honor. And they say it stems from the South, to be in the South. And that's not a big dumb reason. There's more people there. It's hot. Less of gun laws. Well, that's nonsense. But that's the conclusion that we came up with, and that's why we really wanted. Cause as a kid, me coming up, I didn't know how to resolve my conflict. This is why I'm in a wheelchair. I didn't know how to think properly. This is why I let money take me all over the globe for the wrong things. You know, I had a low self-esteem. This is why I chose to sell drugs to be accepted. You know, so these are the things that these kids are missing, and they think that they have it. Because if I ask a child, "Do you have a high self-esteem?" Yeah, I get fresh every day. And what does that mean? You take pride in your family.
Right.
That has nothing to do with your esteem. You know, so I talk too much. So that's
my
new ideology.
Well, listen, to do what you do, you got to have some type of ideology, because, you know, how else are you going
to
be able to be effective?
To cope with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of things that, you know, that we do kind of do stem from the way that we were raised or whatever, you know, and as of what? Oh, my nephew is going to be 10. So I say, even for me, as of like the past 7 years, and I don't care what nobody say, I don't believe in spanking anymore. Just because that what we get stuck on is what our parents did to us. And we just pass certain things down from generation to generation. And sometimes those things turn into a big snowball. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, it's hypocritical too, because you do teach your children. Most people teach their children, if somebody hits you, hit them back or whatever the case may be. And I mean, of course you can't be, you know, you can't allow a person to abuse you. Huh?
Is that wise to do today with all this gun violence? Like, would you encourage your child to defend himself in the midst of all this gun violence, or would you implore him to use his critical thinking?
Critical thinking will get you behind out of the situation. And a lot of, you know, to be honest, but, you know, like you said, where we're from, that's not the popular thing. You might look like a punk, but I look like a punk above ground. Instead of looking at like a punk 6 feet under,
Man, it's scary.
So it's just
scary.
It really is.
And then it's like all the bullying that's going on too. You know, it's like it has to be a happy medium, because you don't want your kid to go to school and, you know, allowing people to just beat on them. Neither.
Yes.
To where that
yes.
can cause other problems. Then you got a kid that's hanging themselves because they're scared to go to school. So it's like it's so many dynamics to this whole thing.
That bullying is really a double-edged sword. Because when I was coming up, bullying was, you taking my lunch money, you know, you're not letting me sit at the table with the cool kids, and, you know, you're tripping me when I walk down the hall.
Teasing me.
Yeah, it took a whole nother avenue now to the point where I'm not even going to lie. I don't even understand it. I don't understand it because when I say I don't understand it, it's something that could be really prevented by just an off button. Just something that, you know, I wish I could when I was a kid and I couldn't beat the guy in school, that I could just take a button and get him out of there. He's gone. You know, I have to deal with him no more. You know? But that's what I try to tell
and
them.
And it's
like,
being
they
done online. They're saying things about each other online that's causing these kids to hang themselves. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, Doc called me from Texas today, and his disabled daughter's getting bullied. And I'm like,
oh,
and then the elected officials, a lot of these schools just blow it off. And this is why the kids, you know, they feel like they can't get any help because it's looked at like, oh, you'll be all right. But no, I'm not going to be all right. Somebody really is bullying me. And then you think about for a kid to want to take his life, it really had to be something serious, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, it had to be something serious. I just try to tell parents, like, when they come home and they got the bullying stories, just encourage them, like, let them feel like what the bully is saying is not right, first off. And work on their esteem, because if you're getting bullied and you're allowing what the bully says to affect you, and there might be a problem with your self-esteem. You know, because someone who feels good about themselves really doesn't care what somebody else has to say, think, you know.
Right. And the thing of it is that it really, really starts at a very early age, and it shouldn't be one of those things that you start instilling in your child at 9 years old. You should have been doing that. If you ask me, you should have been doing it from the womb. From the womb.
Yes. A child.
You know,
they say a child
people don't realize how important. Go ahead.
They say a child's self-esteem is formulated in I think from 1 to 7 years old.
Mhm.
Well, thanks, Mom, because you did an awesome job. But you know, I think I believe in talking to children from the womb. You know, be honest, and then educators need to understand that, you know, their job as an educator is not just to teach reading, writing, you know, all of those things. This is why I love the stage that I'm at, where I have a bunch of three-year-olds, you know, who I get a chance to, as babies, even though as grown as they are, they almost like they're 6 years old, but at that young age that I get a chance to love them and encourage them at a very young age, you know, and that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you do that, you're building a critical thinker. You're building a person who is not easily affected by negative things that may be said about them, all of those things. And I feel like if that's done more, less of these things will go on, because you have a kid that's just like, well, you could say whatever you want to say about me. You know, it's all right. I'm good. You know.
That's your opinion. What you think about me,
right.
Your opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kareem, I wanted to ask if you could let everyone know what your inspiration for starting, like, why did you start it? Why did you start WAG? What happened in your life that was the turning point that made you say, okay, this is what I have to do?
All right. I'm an only child, right? So I grew up spoiled. And how can I say it? I went to the streets early, real, real early, and that's all I really knew. I never had a job in my life. I didn't know what working was until I got disabled and got an SSI check. So, being that said, I ran the streets like a junkie, and I hit my rock bottom. And my rock bottom wasn't getting shot, wasn't going to prison in the wheelchair. It came on by my cousin. My cousin took a bunch of money that wasn't mine, and I consider myself to be a gangster. And this day, I had to beg and cry for my life, and that was my rock bottom. And then when I got out of that situation with my life, I came home, and I just said, I can't do the streets no more. And I formed Wheelchairs Against Guns.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So after your situation with getting shot and becoming paralyzed, you still went back to the street? I want to make sure we got understand this clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got shot.
Because that's all you knew.
Yeah, I got shot in 1995, and I went to prison in 2004, came home in 2008, and I went right back to the streets in 2008. God willing, I didn't go back to jail to learn this lesson. I learned it through the form of a family member. And that was it for me. August 13, 2000, August 4th, 3 days before my birthday, August 14th, 2012, I started it. No,
2013. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep. So you really have something to tell these kids. Which, you know, a lot of times I feel like, you know, so I was thinking about you today, of course, because I knew that, you know, you would be on today. But one of the things that I thought about is a lot of times if you've never been through anything, you really can't tell somebody else something.
Yeah,
and I begin to think about what a huge impact it must be when you go into those schools and you sit those kids down and you actually going into that school in a wheelchair. So they probably like, you know, what they going to say, you know, whatever the case may be. And when you begin to tell them your story, it definitely has to be life-changing for them. Because how could it not be? It's not like you're talking something that you don't know. You lived it. You know, and as a result, you know, now in a wheelchair. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kareem.
And that's our niche. I think that's why we're effective in what we do. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Straight.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. You said
that's why we're effective in the schools, because it's not like you said, it's not like somebody. Hello?
Yes, we're listening. Yes, we're here.
It's not like their teacher's telling them or somebody that's not of them telling them. So.
You speak their language.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge part. Hold on one second.
Wow. You know something? It's funny because teachers have a background too. You know what I mean? So it's just like sometimes I feel like, you know, I feel like it would be accepted if teachers would just tell certain kids certain things. If you see a child that kind of resembles who you used to be at 14, you should not act like you've never been that person or you don't know that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, that's like my 9-millimeter story. You know, I tell the kids that story all the time. I haven't in a good while, but I've definitely told that story, you know, before, and they were just shocked, like, you had a 9-millimeter? Yep, sure did. You know what I mean? And I didn't know anything about bodies or anything, and that was definitely a dirty gun, you know? So a lot of times, you know, you can reach them by not acting like you've never been there before. Hi, Sophia. Hi, Terrell. Hi, Pastor Henry. Hi, Dell. I see all of you, even though I'm about to log off in like 2 minutes. But yes, Pastor Henry is in the building. She's listening on Facebook, Kareem, actually. Haven't seen her in a while, so I'm glad to see her here.
Actually, me and Miss, I just forgot her name, that's fact. We did a New York, what was that thing we did together? New York, it was what, New York City Land, Guns Change Lives, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she started her agency as a result of her son being murdered. And we've actually had her on the show as well. So, yeah, definitely. I know this is something that people can relate to a lot. What would you say was the most, so you go to a lot of schools in New York City. I'm hoping that you can go to schools in other places as well besides New York City, because WAG is definitely needed. But what would you say was the most touching story that you heard from a kid?
Oh, man, that's a lot. Oh, man. All right, well, one kid that I'll tell you about, Christian, because we work with Christian, and we really changed his life. We went to a school in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Bronx Rep. I believe it was Bronx Rep. And as we was giving our presentation, Kristen was honest enough to tell us that he didn't love himself. So upon finding out why he says he didn't love himself, it was because he was in the Crips. He was running with the Crips since he was 6 years old. So if you do that,
6 years old,
I couldn't. 6 years old. So he's like, you know, my life is really, you know, it's useless. I'm only in school because I know that's what my mother wants me to do, so I just come here for that. So I'm like, hold on. So you have the sense enough to know that your mother wants you to do something, so you just do it anyway. So he had us the love, so now we took him in and we coached, you know. Well, actually, I let him ride around me every day just to see my life, you know. And then it started to come out, like, I want a job. You know, once we started to get to him, you know, the tough exterior came down. Then he let us know he wanted a job. So my friend at the time had a car wash. So I let him wash cars with the car wash. He didn't particularly like that because, you know, you're coming from a culture of wanting to get money. And that right there is not, it's demeaning to him. So he did it for a while.
Yeah.
But then he said, he was honest with me. Then I said, you know what? I'll try to find you another job. So as trying to find him another job, we got him a job at Lowe's Movie Theater. And he didn't like that either. But I'm not mad at the fact that he's not liking all these jobs. I'm more excited to the fact that he's given himself the opportunity to try these jobs, to even see, you know, what working is like versus selling drugs. So what we got out of him was he no longer wanted to sell drugs. He no longer wanted to be in the key. No longer wanted to be a crip. He just wanted to work. So now next month is his birthday. So when he gets 18 and get his working papers, we got a job on washing dishes in my friend's restaurant. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that.
I just don't even know how
I can't
you
even imagine that. Like, no, where was his mother? Where was his parents? Where was his family? But I wanted to ask you, can you just get out of the crib? Because I thought once you were in that you couldn't get out.
And see, with these gangs now, what I realize that however your strength is, you could get out if you want. If you ain't that strong, then you might have a issue with getting out. You know, like they let Sammy the Bull go. He killed. Yeah, Sammy killed 19 people, and he didn't take federal protection. So this is the same thing with these gangs. If they feel like they're a live wire and they can just leave without no issue, they're gonna leave. But if they feel like they're not the live wire and they need, you know, help exiting the gang, they'll do that.
Wow. Lord have mercy. Ooh. I can't even imagine. I have a 5-year-old. I can't imagine my son being a part of a gang. Like, what is going on at home? Yes, I have a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 22-year-old. All boys.
I share this with you. The streets are very influential. So when I'm not going to say they are, but if your children do start to veer, don't take it as you're doing something wrong. Don't take it as that, because like I said, I'm a spoiled child. My mother did everything for me, from boarding school to private school, just laying all the avenues so I didn't have to do the things I did, and I still did it. And she's a good mother, you know.
Wanting to fit in with your peers.
Yes, that's a huge
peer pressure.
Peer pressure. You don't, and then especially today, you don't want to get bullied, so you have to fit in with the cool kids, you know, or you got to join a gang, you know, to be cool, you know, and the kid could turn it off. A kid could turn it off on and on. Like he could be who you want him to be in the household, and then when you get outside, he's a whole different person.
Different person. I know.
Wow.
You got.
Yes, I have 3 boys.
Okay. I mean, I'm a mentor, so if you ever have any issues or you need them to talk to anybody, who but better than me?
I appreciate that, Kareem. I definitely do. You are such a blessing.
For real.
Just to be brave enough to share your story. You know, people would be ashamed. Some people would be ashamed to speak their truth.
So I don't know why. Like I tell people this is my college degree.
Right. And you know, I've been thinking about so many things just because I knew you were going to be on the show. But did you ever think that, you know, had your life turned out differently and those things never happened to you, that, you know, this probably wouldn't be what you're doing now?
Nah, me and my mother had that conversation the other day, because when I was younger, let me get a Gatorade. We was having this conversation the other day. When I was younger, I was nice in football, and she was taking me on a tour of boarding schools throughout the state. So we went to Rhode Island to one boarding school, and they read my coach review from my football camp from the prior summer, and they actually offered to pay room. They offered me a scholarship. But me, being who I was and wanting to be a part of this dumb culture and come back to the league, I begged and pleaded. I begged and pleaded, Mom, please, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And that was the turning part of my life. Because yet I'd have took that scholarship, I'd have been in the NFL. And we really wouldn't have had this conversation.
Okay. We've been doing something else. Had a whole nother calling. Wow. Choices. Life is about choices.
That is so deep.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just, look, it's just, I'm grateful that you are still here to be able to tell your story, because we all know it's going to win another way.
Yeah. That's just good. But you know, I'm alive.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
And so many people, have so many complaints as to why they don't do things or whatever. And it's like, come on, you living in a healthy body. You get up and walk every single day, you know. And this is why I super commend you guys, because it's just, wow, that this is just like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind blowing at the same time, you know. That's deep. This is just, it's deep. It's really deep. It's really deep. Like I said, people always have a reason why they shouldn't do something.
What
are you going to say?
Are all of y'all parents on the line?
My mother is on the line. My mom's on the line.
Okay,
it's just
the young lady that has the three boys.
Me. It's unique. Me.
Oh, that's unique.
Oh, okay, unique. Well,
yes.
You know what I've been trying? My newest crusade is going to be trying to have the Board of Ed teach our children my three pillars the same way as reading, math, and science, because it goes hand in hand. You can't just keep teaching our kids reading, math. I mean, that's important, but they need to know the right time to apply math or the right time. So I really want the Board of Ed to start teaching our children critical thinking skills, conflict resolution, and you know, reinforcing their self-esteem, especially our inner-city kids. And I think the reason they don't want to do it is because they know what time it is. They know that we out here thinking stupid, and they need to keep relying on us to be this way so we can fill them jails.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't hate to agree. It is what it is. You know, it's like a setup. You know what I mean?
No, it is a setup. It's not like a setup. It is a setup. It is.
Absolutely. That like part was for lack of a better term, I guess, because, you know, it is what it is. But I think that would be definitely awesome to, you know, to apply those three pillars. And that's why it's also awesome to have, you know, educators who look just like us, who are from the same. Uh-oh, what we got going on back here? Like the fire alarm. It's good to have educators. Educators who look just like these children, who've been through the same things that these children go through, who live in the same neighborhoods that these children live in.
Mm.
You know, we need more people like that to teach these children. And these same people, these same educators, need to be unashamed of their background and where they come from, so that they can be a lot more relatable not only to the kids, but to their parents too, because you'd be surprised how many parents still need a lot of guidance. And this is why, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, that these kids go down these different routes as well, because the parents need guidance. They didn't get the proper guidance. So it's just so many dynamics you know, to the whole thing, until it's not even funny. I have a caller online. I don't know if they want to talk, but it's 3058. So I wanted to open the line for 3058. Unique and Mecca, we don't bite. We always have to tell you guys this, because people get on here and get very, very shy and they don't want to talk. And if you don't want to talk, just say hey to Kareem and let him know that you're there. So I'm going to open the line for 3058. Hello, 3058. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Did you have anything that you would like to say to Kareem?
I just want to say, Kareem, keep up the good work. Keep pushing and keep doing what you're doing. Everything happens for a reason, and I believe you are living your purpose. Just keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Most definitely.
You're welcome.
Most definitely.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Whew. Wow. So now,
you want to hear something? You want to hear something funny?
Okay,
go ahead. Something funny, right?
Want to hear?
When I go into the school, when I go into the schools, right? So I got every day, every school we go in, we raise the ante. I think right now we have like $70. And the question. And the question is, somebody tell me the definition of integrity.
Somebody tell you what?
I don't know. So I'm in the elevator. The definition of integrity. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Integrity, yes.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep, so integrity.
Asked,
we got you.
I asked the students. And nobody never knows the definition.
And that's
from, big. From elementary school to middle school to high schools, I ask this question all the time in all my presentations. And out of this presentation, probably 3 kids got it right.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we go to a school. If nobody gets it, we raise it up 5 for the next school. We go to the next school. Nobody gets it. We raise it up 5 for the next school. But it's just crazy that they don't know the definition of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So what are these teachers teaching the kids?
Right.
What do they teach them?
Right. Sure. Absolutely. It's crazy because, like I said, I have teach 3-year-olds, and they know what cooperation and respect means because that's how I talk to them. And so, to me, I feel like it's just no excuse. It's no excuse. If you cannot be a teacher in any form, be it what you do, be it even as a parent, what I do, without raising the bar for those who look up to you. But in order to raise that bar, you have to raise it for yourself as well. This is what people don't, this is what I think, you know, people don't get. And that's very important. Oh, man, Serene, that, I can't believe high schoolers didn't know what integrity was. My goodness.
High schoolers don't know. So that means you went to all these great, and then you don't know what the definition of integrity is. How do you choose your friends? How do you know what's right and wrong? Like, you know, because
absolutely
it's shocking. It's scary.
So
that means
question.
You just let anybody hang around.
Right. So now here's the question. When you go to these schools, do your workshops at these schools, Do you do them, is it like a one-shot type of thing, or is it like over a period of time you get a chance to spend time with this specific group of kids?
Well, we have different packages. We have different packages for the school, choosing on what their budget could pertain, or if I want to, per se, do the workshop for free. So A lot of the times, and I hate this, I hate to say it, but I don't like this workshop package that I have, because it's just 1 hour talking to the kids and I'm gone. You know, there's no intimacy, there's no nothing.
How do you know if you make the impact?
Exactly. So I got another package where I've done it hourly, but the main one that I'm really pushing is our 3-day, 9-hour package. And that is when we go into the schools Monday, Tuesday, 3 days out the week, and we work with each group, each grade, whatever's in the school, whether it's 7th to high school, we'll go from all of those grades, 7, 8, it's only 3 days, so 7, 8, 9, right? So we'll take all those three, and each day we'll do three, we'll do our pillars, we'll do our conflict resolution for the whole day, and we'll deeply, emotionally get into that. Then on the second day when we come back, we'll do critical thinking. So all three, from third grade to sixth grade, we'll teach all the classes in that school that day critical thinking. Then we'll come back and do conflict resolution. Then we'll come back and we'll do positive self-esteem reinforcement. Then we'll come back and we'll have a Q&A section with the teachers. So to show the teachers like certain icebreakers to do with the kids, how to be more relatable to them. You know, because, but we also let them know that the beauty about this day is that once you learn the material for the kids, it's still not really good for you to try to relate it. So it's always good to bring a credible messenger in. And this is how we form the relationship with the school and let the kids know that we're constantly here, not just here, tell a story, read. You know,
and never
that
come back.
Reach back. Yeah. So I really don't like that.
I feel you on that. I think that the DOE should make that part of the teachers' the training curriculum for the teachers as well. You know, because of course there's different trainings that goes on throughout the school year for the teachers before school starts back in September. All of that, and I think that should definitely be a part of it. So I'm hoping, as you cover in all these grounds, that's the next thing, because I think that's definitely needed. Tell everyone, please, where they can find you at.
Your
social media, so on and so
forth. Yeah. We got a website, same as the name, wheelchairsagainstguns.org. We have a Facebook page, Wheelchairs Against Guns, and we also... on Instagram, everything is Wheelchairs Against Guns. So my Facebook, my Instagram, and I don't really deal with Twitter. LinkedIn is my real name, which is Kareem Nelson. My email address is wheelchairsagainstguns@AOL. Anything I missed? Anything I'm leaving out, Mecca?
Facebook. No, you covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
You
didn't
do Facebook.
I didn't
hear
Facebook.
Yeah. You have a Facebook?
You said Instagram, Kareem.
He said Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram,
he said Facebook.
Wheelchairs.
He said he'd do everything but Twitter.
All righty.
Yeah.
So now I also. Oh, go ahead.
No, all the handles are the same. Wheelchairs Against Guns.
Got it. Now, one thing before you go, I know that as of recent, and I didn't get a chance to hit you up and find out what that was all about, but I know Jadakiss had linked up with Wheelchairs Against Guns.
Oh.
So, yes. So, shouts out to Jadakiss.
Jada.
Yeah. He's our board member. He sits on our board.
Awesome.
Our board.
That's big.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll get in contact with him, but. Yeah, he's a board member of Wheelchairs Against Guns. Yep.
We just roll up to his juice shop, you know. Like, hey, I was trying to call him. That's what's up. And I think that's definitely needed as well. We need more influential people. Not to say that you're not, because you're definitely a huge influence. But, you know, sometimes I feel like those kids need to see the people that they see on television, you know.
Yeah, that's the key.
Kind of sort of be a part or be behind a movement. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. I don't know. Unique, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
I just want to say, Kareem, I'm so proud of you, and just continue to do what you do. Anytime you want to shout out an event that you're doing, just hit us up and let us know. You're always welcome on the VIP.
Thank you so much for having me. I can call you now. Most definitely. We family. I talk to them. No problem.
Absolutely. And Kareem, I'm going to remind you again. You know, when you put stuff on Instagram, Kareem, I see it like 50 days after, and I'm like, you know, you got to text that stuff. Yeah, I'm going to stop that.
What we got coming up?
Because you know what, Kareem? I lied to you not. My schedule is crazy. It's crazy. And I might not always be able to promise that I will physically be there. But for me, you know, and Unique and I talked about this last week, support is not always physically being there. Support is not always money either. Sometimes support is, all right, today is the day. Let me text you and tell you, I know that you will be on your grind today. You in my prayers. You know what I mean? Or later on, okay, how did everything go? You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, make sure that you're letting me know. And, you know, there'll be times that I will surprise you and be there. Might beat you there and greet you when you come in the door. You know, but I want to know.
All right.
So,
I got you. You got to do the text thing
because sometimes I miss stuff on Instagram.
Which one is your? You got so many numbers, man. Which one is your number to text your direct number?
Either one, Kareem. Either one. You have the business and the personal. So whichever one, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Kareem, like, look, 718 or 917. What's going on here? And not too many people have both. So you have both. So whichever one, I have those phones with me. Right. I have those phones with me, both of them. 90% of the time I have both. So, you know, just hit me up. And, you know, like I said, and like Unique said, if there's anything you want to share on the VIP, you know, let us know. Because we also, you know, we also do our shout outs. You know, so it's not even, it's not always a thing of, you know, if you're physically on the show, it might be something coming up that we just want to make sure, hey, when we do our next show next week, that we tell the people, this is what's happening on wherever, you know, WAG is going to be in the building, you know. And then we also have our other show, The Trend, where we, you know, definitely do a lot more shout outs on that particular show. So, you know, you got to let us know what's going on so we can let the people know what's going on. Because this is a good thing that you're doing. It's good as an understatement. But we want to do whatever it is that we can do to help get the word out. So we want you to know that we appreciate you. And if there's anything else that you have to say that you want to say before we get off, then now would definitely be the time.
Everything's good. Everything. I just thank y'all for lending me your ear, for having me. And just keep me in mind if you ever run across any teens that are considered at risk or, you know, that you might need guidance. And that's basically it. That's it.
I got lots of those at the Harlem Children's Zone.
Oh, you know what's crazy? I've been trying to get with the Harlem Children's Zone too.
Okay, so don't worry. I'm on it. You should have never said it. You just said the word. Yes, I got the babies in the morning, my toddlers, and three times out of the week I got the big ones at the Harlem Children's Zone. So now I'm about to start making some linkages. See, this is why we got to talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I've been trying to get with them. All right.
I'm gonna try my best to make it happen. Definitely.
Kareem, you need to try to get to Puffy school as well.
Where? Yeah, I did. I sent a proposal to Puffy School, and yeah, I sent a proposal, but I didn't hear anything back there. But you know what though, it might be a time to just go up in there personally with my brochures, my cards, and
absolutely.
It's on 104th and it's on 104th and 5th, right?
I'm not sure either.
Boys and girls? I believe it's where the boys and girls club is at.
We boys and girls. That's not it. I don't think that's it. But don't worry, we're going to find it. If you don't find it, I'll find it first. And I'll let you know. Definitely will.
Yeah, I
sure will. Well, Kareem, it is always a pleasure. And we will continue to connect.
Definitely.
And do what it is that we got to do to keep our children knowledgeable, safe, build up their self-esteem and all, you know, everything that it entails to just keep them living. How about that one? You
yeah.
know, and being able to be grandparents, you know, and all of that stuff. So with that said, Kareem, you have anything else you'd like to say before we close?
Nope. I'd like to just say enjoy the rest of your evening.
Well, all right.
And congrats again on your citation that you received, your citation award.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, the phone's off.
Oh, I said
well,
congrats on your award again, your citation award. Congrats
oh, thank
on that.
You.
Yeah, your latest citation.
Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're
yeah,
welcome.
You
thank
night.
You. You too.
Thank you, everybody.
Alrighty.
All right. Good night,
thank
us.
You guys.
Good night.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Emeka. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Emeka, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueEmeka. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.